I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my good friend, John Drennan, and this is our 52nd podcast, one full year, John. And we have a few things to talk about this time. One that I wanted to bring up right away was there was a ranking of NFL teams, or NFL divisions, I should say. And I was a little surprised to see that they ranked all eight divisions, and they ranked the NFC North, which of course is the Lions division, as the toughest division. And, you know, I would have expected the NFC West with San Francisco and LA and Seattle, but they have the North is the best. And it makes sense. All the teams last year, Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay and Chicago, they all had winning records. So we're hopeful that Detroit will improve and make a run this year. But it's not going to be easy because they have to play three good teams twice. The rest of their schedule should be okay because they got, even though they were 9-8, they get a last place schedule. The second best was the NFC West. And then they went down to the AFC West with Denver and Kansas City and San Diego. And maybe the Raiders will take a step forward with Fernando Mendoza. The AFC North, the AFC North's interesting because they're perennially kind of mediocre.
Pittsburgh. Go through those teams real quick, Bill.
The North teams, the AFC North.
Yep.
Is Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Baltimore.
Right.
And Baltimore's been really good, but then they just spit the bit in the playoffs. Pittsburgh is making the playoffs every year, but they're always one and done. Cincinnati has a great offense with their quarterback Burrow when he's healthy and their two outstanding receivers, but their defense is suspect. And then who did I leave out?
Well, the Browns. Cleveland. You know, I've been giving love to Cleveland this year. I think they're on the rise if they don't make idiotic moves.
Well, they're prone to that. So
that's why I said that.
I mean, they're still paying Deshaun Watson $1 billion a year. So
it's an exaggeration, but not it's
well, you know what I mean. And after, let's see, after that's the AFC South with Indianapolis and Jacksonville. And then bringing up the rear is the NFC East, which is kind of surprising. They get a lot of press with Dallas and Philadelphia and Washington, but they have them rated pretty low. And then finally, the AFC East is a two-team race with Buffalo and New England. And then the sorriest is the NFC South. NFC South only took an 8-9 record last year to win the division.
And that is what? The Saints, the Bucks, is that Titans or Panthers?
It's the Panthers, Saints, Bucks, and Falcons.
Falcons. Okay.
Yeah, and you and I talked at the end of the year last year that it's just patently unfair, we think, that a team with a sub 500 record should make the playoffs over a team that has a above 500 record. Now, last year, if they would have done that, Minnesota would have gotten in instead of Atlanta or whoever it was. It was Atlanta, I think, got in. But or it was the Panthers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and what you're saying is,
and they almost beat the Rams. That's the problem, is you have these divisions where you don't have to do anything all year long. You win it, then you have one good game and you beat a team like the Rams because you get a home game too. If you win the division, you get a home game. So you have an 8-9 team hosting a 13-4 team, which makes no sense at all.
Well, really, Bill, if you look at that 2 years ago, the Lions were at what, 15-2, and the Vikings were 14-3.
And they
But
had to go on the road. Yeah.
yeah, and then you could potentially have a team be 500 and win their division. Well, like happened last year. And no, I agree with that. They need to look at that.
So, I just think it was interesting that the NFC North is getting a lot of love here. Then the quarterback ratings came out and they're all over the place. They have Goff is rated the best quarterback in the NFC North, which I think is no doubt. Bears fans will argue with that. But they rated Goff, what did you say?
Ninth, and this
Ninth.
was the ESPN top 10 rating.
ESPN rated him ninth. And they had Drake May ahead of them. Drake May is young, played a really easy schedule last year. They have Justin Herbert ahead of him. And he's never won anything either. I mean, he looks real good, but they don't win. And Dak Prescott, again, great regular season, but doesn't do very well when the lights are the brightest. So we'll see. I think with playing the toughest division in football, it'll be an interesting year. Now you had some had a question last week, John. Is this the most complete roster that Brad Holmes has assembled for the Lions? And so I'll throw it over to you to comment on that.
Yeah, and if our listeners missed last week, I did bring that question up, and I said not the best roster ever, but the most complete. And you raised the question, what's the difference? And that was a valid question. But let me talk about this year, how complete is the roster? And I want to make this statement. I think this is the most complete roster. And so let's look at that a little bit. And before I get into this year's roster, I'm well aware last year I really miss what's the right word? I called it way wrong on Johnny Moe. I didn't think he'd be as disastrous as he was as the offensive coordinator. I didn't think the offensive line would be as bad as it was. I knew they were going, it was going to be rough, but it was really rough.
Those two are connected too.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so this year, I really think they've checked the main boxes on the offensive line. I think it's better, it's deeper across the board. I think it will likely end up a top 10 offensive line in the NFL, and from there can only be better. Last year, their edge position, they had to rely too much on Hutch coming back from a serious injury. He played too many snaps. He had a good year, but Davenport was basically absent. Muhammad was good in third down. Had 10 or 11 sacks, but they've really, I think, boosted that by bringing in Wadham. I'm not sure I'm saying his name right. DJ Wadham,
Yeah, that's right.
a proven NFL edge. By drafting Derek Moore, they've got Hasanin back, who, Bill, I was just saying, he's added 10 pounds of muscle, and they're impressed with him as a second-year player who didn't play last year because of injury. They've added Peyton Turner, a guy that Grant Stewart, linebacker for the Lions last year, said he thinks Stewart will, or I'm sorry, Peyton Turner will have a great year, assuming he can bounce back. High on this Lucas, an undrafted free agent from USC. So I just think they got depth there and talent, and they'll be a lot better there. I think
just want to correct a mistake we made here just a minute ago. It's DJ Wanham.
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 Yeah, thank you. I actually think their defensive backfield room's better, even though Terrion Arnold's gone. And of course, last year we started the year thinking we had two healthy safeties. And so that, you know, that looked really good. But the fact is, Kirby Joseph really only played four games where he was effective, and Brian Branch missed games. I think this year there's just more depth, even though we're missing, and we think we'll get Branch back about mid-year, and we just don't know on Kirby Joseph. But they've added, you know, three guys in free agency in the defensive backfield. Chuck Clark is a safety. Christian Izian is he can play pretty much all the positions. And they added Roger McCrary, who's an edge. I'm sorry, a cornerback. They added Abney as a draft pick that most thought would go in the third round. He went in the fifth round. And then hopefully DJ Reed was recovered from his hamstring. Hopefully we can get Ennis Rakestraw on the field this year, a cornerback. His first 2 years he missed because of injuries. Wide receiver, I think they're better this year. You know, you give Jameson Williams another year. You got Isaac Tesla. You and I were crooning about him before we got on here. Most of his catches are highlight reel catches. We think he'll get a lot of catches this year. And I think they got the best wide receiver group in the NFL, frankly. And then their coaching depth is better. You know, I think their new OC, offensive coordinator, is going to get the job done. And they brought in Mike Kafta to help out as passing coordinator. They just got a lot of depth in their coaching. My concerns, defensive line, maybe a little weaker than a year ago. Linebacker, I don't want to.
You want to elaborate on that? Why do you think the defensive line is weaker?
Well, they no longer have Reeder. They no longer have Lopez. And I'm just concerned their depth there. There's a lot of ifs. If Aleem McNeil returns to form, that's a huge plus. If Tyleek Williams takes a second year jump, that's a big plus. And if Levi Osariki, who didn't play last year because of injury, can return to form, then I think they're better going into this year. But that's a lot of ifs. So that's a question mark for me.
Well, what about DJ Wanham? You brought him up, thought that that was a.
Well, he's an edge. I'm talking about interior D-line.
Okay.
Yeah. And then linebacker, you know, I think last year I mistakenly underplayed the loss of Frank Ragnow. That loss was massive. I don't want to do that this year with Alex Anzalone. I mean, he was really important in coverage against tight ends and just a proven solid linebacker. Can they make that up? We'll see. But as we've talked about before, Bill, I think they'll go less with three linebackers and more with the nickel, adding the fifth defensive back in coverage. So
that opens you up to the run.
Yep. But we think the edge players they have this year are better against the run. Definitely want them. And hopefully Moore and Turner. So anyhow, I think front to back, and looking at how these players have had another year to mature, starting with their first draft choices that happened back when Penei Sewell was drafted, I just think all these guys a year older, who they brought in free agency, who they brought in in the draft compared to what they've lost. We just got a more solid roster front to back. So there you go. There's my optimism on that.
Well, John, I don't disagree with anything you said. That it just seems to me that in the NFL, and this applies to all the teams, not just the Lions, the real key to a good year is health and depth. The way the league is anymore, these guys are bigger, faster, stronger, hit harder, and they play 17 games. I mean, in my lifetime, they've gone from 14. I don't think they played 12, not that I remember. It used to be 12, and they went to 14, and then they went to 16, and they're talking about going to 18. And it's just a lot to survive for the abuse these bodies take every single play of every single game. And the best teams are fortunate to have health, and then the best teams also have depth, players that can step in when someone does get hurt. And in the year that 2 years ago when the Lions were 15-2, it was a rash of secondary injuries that really ruined our chances, because I think they were Super Bowl bound without those injuries. And they just couldn't hold up once the playoffs started.
And Bill, a listener might think, well, if you got health, you don't need depth as much. But I think in this league, you got to have depth you can rely on because you don't want, you talk about tread on the tire. You don't want Jahmyr Gibbs carrying the ball every time. You don't want Hutch out there on every play. You want to be able to spell your D-backs once in a while. And that's where depth comes in.
Right. Depth helps prevent injuries.
Yep. And tired, I remember games. Remember when they 2 years ago when they won 15 games, we always felt like Lions are going to win it in the fourth quarter because they're just beating the other team down, and depth allows that. So I agree, health and depth, two huge things, but this is kind of a segue, Bill, into I want to ask a bigger question. You mentioned this is our 52nd podcast in a row, ending our first year. Last year, we started the week before the Hall of Fame game. The Lions played that first exhibition game. And so, in wrapping up this year and looking into next year or next season, I want to ask this question, Bill. What separates the organizations that seem to compete year in, year out? And there are some obvious examples. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they had a down year last year, playing them, you knew you might have a loss. The Ravens, for years, have been good, have been in the playoffs. Now, they haven't won the Super Bowl, but they've been there. As you mentioned earlier, the Steelers, in the playoffs every year, even though they don't then win a game. But most teams, you can't say that. They're in the playoffs year after year after year. The Packers have been that way. The 49ers have been that way. So, Bill, let me go to you. I mean, what do you view as that makes up these really great, consistent organizations that seem to win all the time? And by the way, the Patriots would always win. And they never had a high draft pick because they won all the time.
Right. Well, I think it starts at the top. It's the owner, the GM, and the coach, and the quarterback. I think if you have consistency in all of those is great. I mean, you look at the Steelers. They've had this, the Rooneys have owned the Steelers in my lifetime. They've had three coaches: Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike, I forget his last name.
How soon we forget.
Right. Anyway, all three coaches coach multiple years, and all three coaches retired or resigned
Mike Tomlin.
to Mike Tomlin. Yeah. And that's the thing I notice is that a lot of owners have a knee-jerk response if their team isn't playing well. Maybe they start, 2-5 or something, and they fire the coach. Jacksonville's a good example. They've just run through coaches. And I think the consistency at the top really bodes well. It also, I don't know how far I want to push this analogy, but I think it gives the players some boundaries. If you think you can complain and whine and moan and have the coach replaced, which seems to happen a lot in the NBA, for example, you're going to have a bad team chemistry. But if the players know, hey, the coach is here, whether I'm here or not, I think that goes a long way. And I think that's been true of Los Angeles. That's been true of San Francisco. I know for years, Seattle had Pete Carroll as their coach. He stepped down. I don't know if he got fired or stepped down, but these teams rarely change their leadership at the top. They just pick the right guys to start with. And I think the Lions have done that. I think Sheila Hamp Ford is, or is it Sheila Ford Hamp? I don't remember which.
Yeah.
She's really turned it around. Brad Holmes has done well. Dan Campbell, halfway through the second year, a lot of Lions fans, and I was one of them, were saying, we got to get rid of this guy. They had a terrible year his first year, and they started 1-6 his second year, and we were thinking, this just isn't going to work. At least that's what I was thinking.
Bill, I remember some phone calls that year where I was pulling you off the
Well, I don't know if I was on the ledge, but I was trying to push Campbell off of it. But I was wrong. And, they stayed the course. They believed in what they were doing. And it's paid off.
You
And
know, Bill,
hopefully.
I think it was when they were 1-6, Sheila Hamp Ford came, or Sheila Ford Hamp came out and said, I'm gonna shut down all the rumors. We are staying with this group, period.
Right.
And they started winning. So that goes back to your point, you know, starts with the owner, GM, coach, QB.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to weigh in on this, you know. Over the years, Lions have had a good QB in Matt Stafford, but their coaches, that was a revolving door. The GMs, I don't feel like they've ever had a good one until now, ever. And the owner, for years, the chant was sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. Why? Because we had crappy GMs and coaching revolving doors. And so I totally agree with your starting point. And so let's look how that filters down, because, you know, one of my answers to what makes great organizations is culture. But clearly the culture comes from owner, GM, coach.
Well, and the Patriots are a great example of that.
Exactly.
Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady.
Yeah. I don't even know who their GM was during those years, but it wasn't a bad choice, whoever it was. Secondly is draft philosophy and draft approach. And the Rams have showed they've got a different philosophy than like the Lions. That doesn't make one better, but I think if you have a philosophy and stick with it and live by it and win with it, that's key to consistency. The Lions have taken the approach, we want to draft and develop. So they don't do the home runs in free agency. This year is a great example. A lot of one-year deals and they're very selective. And they've drafted some guys and tried to develop them where it hasn't worked out. And at some point they cut their losses. We'll probably see that this year with Manu Gina.
Giovanni.
Thank you, Giamani. Yeah. And then another one is it's a business and cap management. This is something I didn't know much about prior to starting this podcast, but throughout the year, Bill, I've learned a lot. I hope our listeners have. But how the cap works. By the way, 2025, the cap was about 255 million. By the way, that's the amount of money teams are have dedicated to essentially the roster in a year. Now, there's a lot of asterisks to that. But this year, Bill, it's just over 300 million. So it went up over $45 million. And that's one thing they can plan for, knowing that each year they're going to have more cap space. But we've heard out there a lot of Lions fans bitching and moaning, well, why didn't we get Micah Parsons? Why don't we trade for Max Crosby? Well, the main answer has been cap space. You can't have the philosophy of draft develop and pay your guys like Hutch and St. Brown and Gibbs and Goff, et cetera, and be going to free agency and writing blank checks. You can't do both.
Well, and the other thing about that, John, is people will look and say, we have enough cap space to sign Crosby or to sign Parsons. But Holmes has to look a year or so down the road when the excellent players that they've drafted, their contracts are going to need to be renewed and they need room in the cap space for those guys. Doesn't do any good to eat up all your cap space with Max Crosby, and then have to let Hutchinson go
Right.
for another great player.
Yep.
Yeah,
So
and teams have what's called a capologist now.
I hadn't heard that term, but I'm not surprised. So back to the question, what makes for these consistent teams? Ownership, head office, GM, coach. Quarterback's huge. Now there's a question, do you have to have a Mahomes type quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Well, no. Seahawks won it last year with Sam Darnold, his first year with Seahawks. If you look back past years, there have been kind of no name middle of the road quarterbacks, but those teams generally had really good defenses, really productive offenses. But notice we didn't start answering that question by saying, well, you got to have the best defense or the best offensive line or but I do think now, as we've drilled down, I think position rooms really matter. I think you got to be good in the trenches if you're going to consistently be good. That's the offensive line and defensive line. And so I'd like to move this conversation, Bill, to a little bit different, and that is what makes up the foundation year to year. So like this year, foundationally, what's a team gotta have to win? And when I say win, I mean, let's say make it into the playoffs and win a playoff game or two. What do you think are kind of must-haves for that.
Well, the historically, it's you got to run and you got to stop the run. So you're back to the trenches, an offensive line that can block open holes and give the quarterback 3 seconds to throw, and a defensive line that won't get blocked and won't give the quarterback 3 seconds to throw. So I think you're right. I think foundationally, it starts with the lines.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And when you think about that, the offensive line is what allows for a run game. The run game helps open up the pass game. When that happens and you get a lead, you're really hard to beat.
Well,
Then if
and they complement each other. I mean, the offensive line, just think back a little bit about when the Patriots were winning. Tom Brady often had 5 or 6 seconds to throw the ball. Step back, look around. Maybe he had to make a little move left or right to avoid somebody, but that offensive line protected him. As opposed to Joe Burrow getting sacked 50 times in a year. As great as he is, you can't function that way.
So that comes back to the trenches on defense. If you can disrupt the other team's offense, or if the other team doesn't have the offense, then they got problems. So when you have both sides of the ball in the trenches, to me, that's foundation to have a winning season.
Yeah, one side or the other, I think, has to be outstanding. And you look at the Texans last year, they were you couldn't move the ball. Their offense was borderline non-existent at times. CJ Stroud didn't have a good year, but they made the playoffs, and a lot of people had picked them to go to the Super Bowl because you just couldn't move the ball against them.
Yep, great point. Now, the other thing we heard this year, the Seattle won it all. Well, how'd they do it? Defense. Broncos were right there. Defense. Texans, defense. But again, defense starts with the trenches. And as you've said repeatedly, and we've pointed out, if you put pressure on the other team's passer, it takes pressure off your defensive backs. If the defensive backs are sticky, it gives the defensive front maybe a little bit more time. So those go hand in hand on the defense. Then there's things like, there's all kinds of stats out there, turnover ratio. But why do turnovers happen? Well, quarterbacks get hurried and pressured, or defensive backs play outstanding. Typically, if you win the turnover ratio, you got a good chance of winning the game.
I think back to last year and the beginning of the season started so well. We beat Baltimore, and Derrick Henry's a great running back, but the Lions forced him to fumble a couple of times and turn the game around. It's very aggressive, going for the ball kind of tackles. Some teams do it and others don't.
All right, well, very soon we're going to start finding out who's going to be on both sides of the ball for the Lions. Training camp opens up, I believe, the 27th. I don't know if you have these dates handy. I think it was 27th for rookies. No, I think it was 25th for rookies, 28th for veterans, and 29th is when they start practice.
Well, John, next week's going to be fun because Normally I'm in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and you're in Grantham, New Hampshire. But next week we'll be visiting you and Lynn so we can do this, start off our second year of podcasting together. That'll be a different flavor.
Well, our listeners must be thinking, wow, these guys are committed. They're st starting their second year by, what is it, a 500-mile drive?
Not quite that far, but it's a long way.
Okay. Well, folks, it's fitting because it was last year when Bill and his wife Tracy visited us that we were talking about the Lions, which we've done for decades. And the idea came up, let's talk about this, but have listeners be able to listen in. So that became a podcast within weeks. So it's fitting that we're going to be together next week. And man, wonder what we'll come up with.
I'm sure you'll have something.
Well, that's a good segue to wrap up. And that will be what we're going to be bringing to our listeners starting next week. And so we encourage you, join us as we continue our initial mission, let's call it, and that's to take the journey with the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. We were hoping it would be this past season. It wasn't. Now we're hoping it'll be this upcoming season. So with that, Bill, it's been a joy doing this 52 times every week. And I'm ready to see you next week and start year two.
All right. Well, it's good to be with you, John. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. The Secondhand Lions podcast. It's the SHLpodcast.com. You can go there, you can listen to all the past episodes. You can like us, you can send it to your friends, other Lions fans, other football fans, and hopefully we'll continue to grow.
All right, take care, everyone. See you in the new, starting the new year of podcast. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.